the $9.85 million for our new building on 52nd. I would like to see an amendment to our contract before us in the April meeting, since we agreed to pay SR Mills and Company half of the grants that we received. Since we only were forecasted $3 million, I am confident that our county exec is going to renegotiate that contract. So I would like to see that contract before us in April, before he departs.
We can put that in.
Okay.
Yeah, we can put that in.
All right. Thank you.
Any other supervisors' comments? Seeing none, we can have it opened up to citizens' comments. Any citizens have 5 minutes to speak before the committee. Just ask that you give us your name and address for the record. Citizens? Seeing no citizens' comment, we are closed. We'll now move on to division reports. I believe the first one this evening is the Highway Division. Plumbing.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What you have in front of you today is the reappointment of Lieutenant Kane Bokovac. He's currently the chairperson for the Highway Safety Commission Committee, and I think his term ended, and he was reappointed to continue with his good job, the good job that he's doing with the committee. So, unfortunately, he could not be here today because he was injured over the weekend, and he has not been cleared to come to work. So that's why he's not here today. Other than that, he's somebody that we all know, and he's just to ask for your approval for the reappointment for Lieutenant.
Discussion on this item for the committee members?
Motion.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the appointment of Ken Thurker as a commissioner to receive the commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Carry on.
I'll take the next one, Mr. Chairman. It's the ordinance to create Chapter 23 for controlling access management on county trunk highways. And this is what we presented the plan for at the last meeting. Tonight we do have the two consultants that we work closely with to help develop this from CBS Squared, Lee and Joanna. So if there are any questions, we sent it out earlier in the week, so hopefully everybody had a chance to review it. It really mirrors what was in the plan, but now these are the nuts and bolts ordinances that actually make it work. This is the county law, so to speak. So we're asking for the committee's approval tonight. So this would move, this one would go directly to the county board then next week.
In terms of just the process and procedure, we have the communities, townships, villages, and so forth that have to be a part of this and have to be signatories to this, correct?
They don't need to be signatories. We probably, from a technical legal standpoint, didn't even need to involve them in the process. But from a good public policy standpoint, we did involve them in the process. And we had two meetings with all of them so that they could see what was going to be involved in this. I'm going to say generally, I wasn't at the meeting. Clement and Andy were with the consultants, and all the feedback I got was that they were generally supportive because they're kind of looking for some guidance as some of the villages start to really take off in their economic development. Without some guidelines and some stuff that they can point to and provide guidance to the developers that are coming in on a daily basis almost now, they're looking for this. And I think the feedback we got, we incorporated into the document. So generally, all the comments have been supportive of it. So I think it's a good piece of legislation that'll help preserve a lot of the benefits of what we just put into Highway S, for example, and many of the other roads as we go forward. The safety features and the capacity to keep traffic moving efficiently, this is going to help preserve those benefits of those investments.
So just in terms of different municipalities and how they have their structure set up, we take a look, for example, at the Village of Somers. They contract with us, as far as Kenosha County, for certain zoning type things, and paints roadways and so forth. For large municipalities, such as just, for example, you know, Pleasant Prairie, is it the same thing, or do they have more of their own internal departments to do that?
So Pleasant Prairie has their own internal planning and development function. The city has their own internal planning and development function. Somers contracts with us for that service. Bristol has their own at this point. Salem Lakes has contracted for those services. Twin Lakes, I think, contracts for those services as well. Sure, Andy, just make me just kind of guess it. Sorry. who am I missing? Paddock Lake. Paddock Lake does it. Oh, they contract as well, don't they? So yeah.
So the long and short of it is, regardless of their standing as a municipality, village, town, whatever, they've been apprised of this, they're on board with it, and it comes before us this evening for discussion and review. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
So I think we've all had a chance to look at this. The case in point, of course, probably the biggest case in point, is Highway 142, County Highway S. You've got this nice new roadway, and in traffic situations coming, you can add this if you prefer, oftentimes more intersections are more dangerous in terms of public safety, speeds, that type of thing. So if we can actually orchestrate how the intersections, access to these new projects take place, we'll have safer roads and we'll have smoother traffic flow. Anything to add to that comment?
No, I think you basically explained it. And the most important thing is to reduce the conflict points and to keep the traffic, the mobility of the traffic moving, because the goal is to reduce the travel time from the interstate to downtown city of Kenosha.
So as we mentioned in this committee before, this is unique in the sense of trying to apply the remedy, if you will, before there's an issue, before once your building comes in, you have issues that you have to deal with. It's very costly, very messy, very time consuming to try to fix it at that point. So I think this is a very positive thing for Kenosha County to be proactive, have our engineers on the front side actually helping us out rather than having to address something further down the road. So further discussion, questions, comments by any members? Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously.
I'm going to take the next one then too, Mr. Chairman, if we're ready to move on. Thanks, Lee and Joanne.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
So I just came from the Village of Twin Lakes board meeting that they just had to review the IGA. To give a little background for new Supervisor Pierce, what this basically, hopefully you had a chance to review it, but basically what we had planned on doing a resurfacing project at County Trunk Highway EM, which runs on the east side of Twin Lakes, 2.6-mile stretch from the state line to Highway Z. And it's a heavily populated area. It's very, from a topography standpoint, very challenging. Lots of curves, lots of hills, stormwater management issues. We were just going to resurface it because that's what we wanted to do to preserve the, extend the life of the road. And during the process of starting to look at doing the preparatory work, replacing culverts and some of the other things we do prior to doing a resurfacing project, the village got involved and said, hey, you know, since you guys are doing this, I don't know if you realize how many people walk in the traffic lanes in this area. It's a 25-mile-an-hour road, so it's used heavily by the population to bike and walk. And is there anything we can do to create a path, a multi-use path along this stretch? And again, given some of the challenges of the topography, pretty difficult to do, but there are some things we can do to what we're calling an enhanced shoulder, so that there is, doesn't meet the technical DOT or federal definition of what a multi-use path is, but it will also create a very safe space for folks to use that's separated at least by paint, if not a physical barrier at times, from the roadway itself. And that's what this basically is to do. So it's a $2.8 million project, which it's eligible for LRIP funding, local road improvement funding, for $985,000. And then the village is going to contribute $250,000. And we're going to pick up the balance, which is just about what we were going to do for the resurfacing project, about $1.4 million. We're going to jointly work with the village to try to raise another, act through grant funding, hopefully, another couple hundred grand. But that's basically what the IGA is. It lays out those nuts and bolts of that relationship and the design process. Ari Smith is actually here in case there's any technical questions. Both Caleb and Robert from there. We just came from the meeting out there. The board asked a lot of good questions. There was a number of citizens that they're very interested in this project because it really will improve things out there. And folks are also concerned about the stormwater runoff and how it gets into the lake too quickly now. And so there was a lot of good comments and questions. Bottom line, they unanimously approved it. It's here tonight for our committee's consideration. Then it would go to finance and then on to the full board next week. That's kind of everything in a nutshell.
Supervisor?
Yeah, the multi-uses is bike path, walking path.
So again, I'll hesitate to use the term multi-use path. It will be an enhanced shoulder. So at times it'll be about 3 feet wide. At other points it'll be up to 9 feet wide, just depending on what we've got to work with. We really don't want to purchase any additional right-of-way. There's one tiny sliver we're going to need on one almost 90-degree bend in order to create the path's geometry to go around that corner. But basically, it's going to be a paved, enhanced shoulder that'll allow folks to walk not in the traffic lanes like they do now, but separate from that. Walk or bike.
And my next question is safety concerns?
Yeah, so this is a 25-mile-an-hour stretch of road, the whole 2.6 miles, that people walk in the lanes right now. So this will provide an area outside of the traffic lane for them to walk. So it should be a significant improvement in safety for what's going on out there.
Supervisor Carlson.
Is there any, and perhaps we need Council Cardam to answer this, but we do refer to it as a multi-use path. Could that be an issue using that term?
So I've tried to eliminate that. Is that in there?
It is in here. It says the feasibility of incorporating a multi-use path feature. It's the third paragraph.
Oh, yeah. That's when that was kind of at the outset. We did look at it as a multi-use path. Then as it goes, as we dug into it, we couldn't do a multi-use path, but we can do this enhanced shoulder kind of a thing.
But it doesn't say enhanced shoulder. I mean, for legal purposes, does it need to say that?
I had Joe Cardamone review it, and he signed off on it, so I think we're good.
Okay.
Further questions or comments from committee members? You mentioned in your opening remarks, Ray, the stormwater runoff and the rate at which it flows into these bodies of water. Is that being affected to any extent in this engineering?
So those are some of the main questions that were asked at the village as well. So I'll let Caleb kind of explain what we're going to do to identify what's there now and then going forward, kind of whatever.
Yep, so that's a big part of what we do, especially for a project like this. First step is to analyze the existing stormwater, how much is flowing off the road, off the county's right of way to the lakes, at what rate. Once we have a handle on what the existing is, then we can take a look at the proposed condition to have a comparison of the two, because the end result is not increasing any flows, whether it's an increase in volume or speed, essentially. So we're just diving into those details right now. Depending on what the results of that are, that's where we kind of start to tweak the design to kind of come back to, like, say we're increasing flows, what can we do now to reduce those back to the existing condition? So definitely a high priority for this project.
So if I understand from your engineering capabilities, your intentions would be to mitigate rapid flow to make it at least no worse than it is now and make it in some sense better. Is that the plan?
Yeah, so in an ideal world, we definitely make it better where we can. Just being realistic here, I don't think it's going to happen on this project, on this corridor. So it's going to be maintaining that we try to manage existing.
Okay.
comes from the state. That's a state program. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Berg.
You had mentioned walking and biking on it. Are we able to loop this into, and I hesitate to use this word or this phrase, because we are talking about it later, but the private public multi-use trail expansion report, I know it talks about, in that map, it's got all the bike paths and whatnot in it. Is that something that we're able to add this to that, or it's already out there?
So I won't say that these are going to be strategically necessarily connected, but they're in the neighborhood of one another in terms of, and I can't remember that bike plan, the master bike plan, well enough to know if there is a defined route that would go from Wilmot essentially to Twin Lakes. I don't know if you guys remember, Matt or Andy, remember the bike plan enough off the top of your head.
With the County Highway F realignment, we did have a spur right on that intersection of County Highway F by the triangle bar.
Yeah.
It's our intent to go EM off of F going into Twin Lakes for that spur. So I know that that's been discussed with myself, probably Andy, as we do more development on that side of the Twin Lakes neighborhood. It's our goal to go into town.
Further comments, questions by the committee members? Seeing none, I can't motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously.
Thanks. Very cool. Now we'll turn highways back to town.
Yeah, that's, this is the fun part.
Two pages.
Yeah. As you all know, each time I come to give my report, I always make some corrections. I'm going to make one. Again, I know I said there was only one snow event. I stuck up two, just after one. But anyway, it was generally cold and a bit dry, so we had the opportunity to carry out some major routine maintenance activities, so it was really good for us. We did a lot of patching, guardrails, we're also replacing signs that were broken due to one incident or the other. And so everything was good. And then for the state, we did the same routine maintenance for the state. And the weather was just favorable for routine maintenance activities. County Trunk Highway JF and State Trunk Highway 83. We just completed traffic tele movement count last week. I've downloaded the data and we are analyzing the data. Hopefully we'll complete this by next week. And I promise you next meeting we'll tell you what we found. I won't be saying that we're compiling anymore. We're also collaborating with Twin Lakes. Twin Lakes just recently completed the construction of their town hall. I don't know whether great that was for you guys attended.
Next week they're moving
in. Next week. So as part of this construction, they widened the sidewalk in front of the building, which is really nice because it accommodates pedestrian traffic and give them the safe kind of a safe buffer from the traffic, especially downtown area. And we thought that was good, and so we issued permits for them to widen and construct it within the county highway right-of-way on condition that they will maintain and be liable for anything regarding that sidewalk. So we just had an MOU drafted. I just signed it early today. The village will be executed in the next county board meeting. County projects, County Trunk Highway S project, again, same old like last time, the contractor is working on a punch list item. That activity will be ramped up very soon because the weather will be breaking for major construction activities to take place. County Trunk Highway K, the opening scheduled for tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get good numbers. Meanwhile, the office of the Railroad Commissioner is still working with the two railroad companies. Hopefully they come to a consensus and get the agreement. In any case, we are moving forward with the project. Construction, we're targeting early summer to start construction. County Trunk Highway A and Y roundabout. The right-of-way acquisition, is in an advanced stage, and we are hopefully we'll be able to complete it by the end of this month. Utility relocation is scheduled to start early April and May of this year. Construction is later the next year. County Trunk Highway WG Bridge, we had pre-construction meeting in early February. The contractor has already mobilized the stage on site. Major construction work starting with piling, driving will start next week. This project is scheduled to be completed in spring of 2023. Sorry, spring of 2022, fall of 2022. County Trunk Highway U1Q, again, the contractor is just waiting for the weather to break. Utility relocation work is almost complete, and we are hopeful that the project will start in early April. County Trunk Highway UNC, the right-of-way acquisition, very, very slow, but I think we are almost done, and we are hoping to start this project sometime in mid-summer of 2022. County Truck Highway JB Bridge, bids were opened on February 3rd. The apparent low bidder is Cinefec, and came with an apparent low bid of $1.1 million. A pre-construction meeting was held on March 1st, and construction is projected to start by the end of the month. And of course, we are targeting August to complete the project. County Trunk Highway MB Bridge replacement. Pre-construction meeting was held in mid-May, and construction is due to start mid-June 15th. This is as a result of DNR regulations. We cannot start any work in the stream before June 15th. We are targeting completion by September of 2022. County Trunk Highway Easy and Russell Road roundabout. I'm just updating this one. No activity actually too quiet, but the Lake County is in the process of developing the MOU or the intergovernmental agreement between the county and Lake County. That will spell out all the rules and responsibility of each county as far as this project is concerned. And again, the timetable is still the same like last month. It's well written out and spelled out there. On Fox Run and DOT related projects, County Trunk Highway KR, there've been some movements now in preparation for major construction to start taking place. Hopefully, it'll going to take place maybe by the end of the month. Again, I don't really have much control or know much about the schedule for this DOT project, except what is sent out for us to read, and I can only report on that. So hopefully they'll start major construction work by the end of the month. Similarly, on Highway 50, the team has mobilized already. They've started doing some temporary work on signal at the signalized intersections. They're also preparing some of the side streets to be paved. So they are wrapping up all their activities to start hopefully maybe mid-March if the weather holds, or maybe early April. And with that, is the end of my report.
Questions as it relates to this part of the meeting? How are we doing with asphalt prices? Are we going to piggyback on the state this year or good?
Yeah, we already have prices. They're slightly better than last year.
Slightly better than last year. So those prices are locked in?
Yes, locked in.
Before we had the recent increase in petrochemical?
They're locked in.
So that's a happy thing. Do we have much on tap this construction season for bridge deck and that type of thing?
You mean bridge deck?
Yeah.
We have a bridge repair program that will be executed. using this year, yes. Not just the day, but the entire bridge. Any inspection, any damage that was picked up by the inspection will be paid. And the inspection will be done again maybe mid March, April, but they do it every 2 years, and it's due this year. So hopefully, what we are planning for this year will be able to cover all the repairs that we need to do on all of those things.
Are we still getting much interest from other surrounding communities, municipalities, counties for bridge deck? Are they having interest in our services for that?
No, we do not provide bridge maintenance to other municipalities.
Oh, really? I thought we actually would provide service to them on a bit of basis.
We do assist the towns, not only the towns, to help them pick up information regarding just bridge structures or culverts. Yes, we do help them to get that information. But we don't typically do in-house, we don't do bridge repair for local municipalities, except the states, where we can do some repair work for the states. But most of these towns, they don't have bridges, they have mainly culverts.
I was going to say, the state law is pretty restrictive on our ability to do so. We actually recently had a request from Wheatland School to see if we could do their paving, and no, state law prevents us from doing that. The contractors have a pretty solid lobby. The road builders have a pretty solid lobby, and so for that reason, a lot of these things are pretty restrictive on what we can provide to the other municipalities.
Very good. Further comments or questions for Clement? Seeing none, thank you for your report. We'll see you next month.
All right.
That's what they're going to be working with. I don't know if you guys have met with Matt yet or not, but
we've gone to the engineer and drafted a letter, and we've given it to Matt today, so we'll see what he says. But probably going to go back to just meat and potatoes, grab heat pumps and some controls, and see where that's at.
So we'll have more information by next meeting, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yep. Very well, thank you.
Yep. Third project is the Brookside Roof Replacement Project. Pre-bid meeting was held on February 21st, and bids are due in 2 days.
For Mr. Tran. Very well, thank you for your report. And you're handling golf for Mr. Dreyer?
I am going to handle golf for Mr. Dreyer. So probably the biggest thing that happened in the last few weeks is Jim Wallace, our new superintendent at Brightondale, a gentleman that had come to us from, he was working in Indiana at a private country club. Prior to that was at Medina down in the southwest suburbs of Chicago. A very experienced guy. He started 2 or 3 weeks ago getting acclimated. Unfortunately, his first day on the job, he was at the intersection of, he was driving on 45. He found a place to rent in Bristol, so he's moved his family up here. He was driving, I believe, to Brightondale, and a lady blew through the stop sign on 60th Street and totaled his car. Thankfully, he was not injured, but that was his welcome to Kenosha. So, but he didn't, it didn't spoil him. He's like, I met him like the next day, and he's just a really positive guy, so we're looking forward.
2 years to get a new car.
Right, that's the thing, right? So it seems like he really fired up and ready to go. It should be a very interesting season at Brightondale this year. The Milwaukee Golf Show is coming up in 2 weeks. Dan's been prepping for that. That's usually a very good show for us and get a lot of regional exposure there. Continuing to work on outings. Pets, as we indicated last month, is booked up completely with 420 league players, the most ever, or at least since 2009. Brightondale still got a few spots open, but is gradually filling in as well. He's still got the end of the season clearance sale going on. They're winding down the simulator at Pets. I believe in the next week or two, that's going to wind down. And then he's got March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, scheduled for the grand opening of the greens on, if the weather cooperates. We'll play that by ear. But it wouldn't be the first time we've opened then, so we'll see what happens. Then they're just doing final cleanup and getting things finally, kind of the final touches for freshening up at the clubhouses, ordering the remaining supplies and equipment. Equipment actually is going to be a challenge. The one superintendent went to a seminar that was hosted by Deer, Toro, Rainbird, I'm blocking on, maybe Jacobson I think was there as well. And they indicated that if your orders aren't in this year already, you're not getting your equipment. And so we're rethinking our strategy for what it is we're going to purchase this year versus what we're going to attempt to maintain and get through another season. Because the other thing is the prices are just off the charts. So we're going to have a strategic kind of planning session on how we're going to go about navigating this year. There's some stuff we're going to need to get, but if we have to stretch things, we're going to do what we need to do to make things last another year.
Play against sports.
What's that?
I said play against sports.
Yeah, right, play against sports, if only. So that's that. And then he's still working on some of the, it's been a great season because of lack of snow and the ground was froze. They did a lot of underbrush clearing at Brightondale and at Pets. And the courses, I'm told, I haven't been out there, but Dan walks weekly at Brightondale. He says some areas of the course have been transformed by how much underbrush has been cleared out. It's just completely changed the look of the course. He's really excited about what folks are going to think about it this year. That's pretty much everything going on in golf.
Very well. Questions, comments about golf operations? Seeing none, thank you for the report. I think we are now on to the parties with Mr. Matt Collins.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Get a little bit closer. So the first thing we have for the Parks Division, last month we had the ordinance to update Kenosha County Municipal Chapter 10 County Parks. Since then, I apologize, I wasn't here this last month to talk everyone through it, but we sent out a couple attachments a few weeks ago, and then again with these reports for the Public Works. So instead of diving back into it, I guess I could open it up if that answered all the questions, if I could answer anything else, or we can leave it up to the committee to kind of lead the Chapter 10 ordinances.
Supervisor Belson.
I just want to thank you. I think you clarified a lot of issues, and I understand now if some of the language was drafted the way it was. I still think that neutered dogs should not be at the park, though, but I'm not going to make a big deal about it. But I think it looks really good, so thank you.
I appreciate it.
Otherwise, your supervisors, comments, questions, criticisms, anything?
I learned what a ski bike is, apparently. it up, and I've never seen it. First time I've seen it before.
I had to Google it too. Yeah, it's been. I didn't put it in there or recommend to put it in. It was there. I think John Rudy put that in there, so he might have saw that that might be an issue in the future. But Supervisor Prego, I had to do the same thing. I never heard of that until I had to really dive into the Chapter 10 county ordinances and know what the heck it was too. Pretty cool though.
It is. Part bike, part ski, and it's motorized.
I'll write you a permit. Maybe we'll cruise around.
I thought they were non-motorized. It's actually just a...
They're motorized.
The ski in front, the ski in the back. No motor.
Yeah, it's a motor.
Bike on one side and on the front is the ski.
There is
hybrid.
Yeah, those kind you're thinking of are like for some para folks that are disabled. They have that style that you can use on the James slopes. Bond. But this other one is a motorized.
I think James Bond had him in one of his movies. No, really.
The other thing too is, what about dirt bikes? Are they other than Bond? Are they allowed at all on any county parks?
No.
Okay.
No, and that's where we wanted to clarify the e-bikes, electric bikes, from something that's more motorized, traditional dirt bikes. We still don't want those. They'll really mess up any type of mountain bike trails. We're going to have volunteers do that. And they're just dangerous if you put them on multi-use trail where they're going to be going way faster than a 25-mile-an-hour speed.
It does say motorized bike, though, right? Not just an off-road bike.
Correct. It, petroleum-based, motorized.
Because they have the bikes with the... lawnmower engines on them now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that would all be covered under these chapter 10s. That would be prohibited.
So where do the e-bikes fit in, the electric bikes fit in?
That was actually introduced in a request to be changed to allow for electronic bikes on our multi-use trails. I'm a firm believer in them because with the baby boomers, the aging population, we want to make sure that they have still that same resource that are able to utilize our multi-use trails, especially if you're going 10 plus miles, that can be wear and tear for anyone. So it just introduces new clientele to better use our resources. So I see that as being a benefit for our community.
They don't do as much damage to the ground either, right?
No.
Yeah.
Good. Any other supervisors have questions or comments on this particular item? Chapter 10 county parks. No, we'd like to thank you, Matt, for getting some clarification. I think it was good for the committee to take an extra few weeks to take a look at this. My concern was with the director of Kemper Corporation Council weighed in and gave us their opinion, just saying it's much the same as many other entities within the county, so that kind of satisfied my concern. Anything else other than that? Entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Belsky, Berg, in that order. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, passed unanimously.
Thank you. Next is a resolution to grant We Energy's permanent easement within the village of Salem Lakes. So I was the lucky one to get a cold call from We Energy's, so I just took this one on. We do have remnant tax deeded properties that the county now owns throughout the history. I think this one's from the 1990s that we've owned this one. So We Energies is doing some work within this neighborhood, pretty close to Camp Lake. And they just requested permission, since it's a county owned parcel, for them to have a permanent easement run across that to service that neighborhood. So we've done this in years past through this Public Works Committee. And this is just a resolution, since it's real property, for the county board and this committee to approve their work that needs to happen within the area.
Questions or comments on the easement before us? Seeing none, we'll take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
I believe Berg is first, second. Pierce. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Seeing none, pass it unanimously.
Thank you. So next on the docket is consider this public-private multi-use trail expansion report. So this was a pretty fun one. There's a little bit of history involved, and I won't go verbatim over the two pages of text. But just to try to summarize how this happened is, Andy's not with us anymore, but Andy Buehler back in 2013 developed this comprehensive bike plan. And he And it really was what we introduced with highways, that it's always good to have a plan when you do anything, either with access points or even with multi-use trails. And that's really been our template since 2013, to have a strategic plan with where we should put multi-use trails based on connections not only within Kenosha County, but then to link north, the northern part of Illinois, southeastern Wisconsin, and beyond. And Andy and other members have been part of Route of the Badger to think very globally about all of our multi-use trails and where we should prioritize. Some of it's low-hanging fruit that if Clement's doing a highway project and that's one of our main corridors, like County Highway S, we're able to branch onto that project and put multi-use trails in. So it's been advantageous that we've had this as a template to see where that where those next steps are really needed to make those critical links. Dovetailing off of that, the committee approved an agreement with Thielen Sand and Gravel for them to utilize the highway pit area right off of County Highway C, kind of in the Twin Lakes, Randall, Wheatland area, for them to do 10 years of mining activities for sand and gravel, and there's a royalty for that. But there always needs to be a reclamation with any site that they disturb after their mining is done with. So Steve Thielen is the second generation, I think, for that family. His father was really involved with the communities where they do business, both in northern Illinois as well as Kenosha County area. He actually has a park named after his father based on how they reclaimed their property, because they want to be good stewards of those properties, because they don't want to be perceived as we're just going in there and pillaging and leaving it like that. That they do a really good job as far as making sure that their reclamation plan works for the community, for private owners, or whoever else that they're utilizing their property. So through that partnership and that agreement, Steve and the team started to think, again, globally, not only about that highway pit area, introducing bike-friendly features, how to repurpose some of their materials, like clay that they might not need. And then it got him thinking. He called me the following day. He says, "Matt, I woke up at 2:00 in the morning. Couldn't sleep. I had this idea in my head," because he knew, he's an avid biker himself, his family go on bike trips, and he says it just makes sense because he knows of all these linkages of multi-use trails between McHenry County, Lake County, Kenosha County, that they were like that connector of all these existing and future planned trails based on all the things that we have planned. He says, "We should think about how to bring everyone together between all the communities that I mentioned, all townships, villages, to see if we can use our property, Thielen's property, to make these connections from northern Illinois, the metro Chicago area, all the way up to Milwaukee County, using our property within Kenosha and McHenry County, because that's like the main thoroughfare within the western part of Kenosha County that goes all the way to the Burlington and beyond." So this was a great opportunity, and it was really led by Steve Thielen to come to us to think how we can partner beyond the 60-acre highway pit and to make it something greater good for the whole, utilizing their property. So we had a handful of meetings already with the community stakeholders between Illinois and Kenosha County. There was mutual interest across the board with everyone listed with those communities that they thought that was a good idea. So before Ray and I really wanted to take this even a step further and start thinking about, obviously, budget for 2023, there will be some budgetary items that will probably come up through that process. We wanted to make sure that we were communicating and transparent to this committee about all this stuff, because it will take some time and energy to pull all this together because there's so many different stakeholders. And we would like, after you review these maps, to kind of see where all this is. We were hoping for a vote within this committee to basically approve and show that you support this initiative with Thielen Sand and Gravel, Kenosha County, and all these numerous communities to proceed with our investigation, our concept, and to keep on reporting back to the committee as we start to gather more information, because it's very conceptual right now. There'll need to be a lot more homework and investigation. But before we get too far, we wanted to make sure we had the support of the committee to take it those next steps.
Supervisor Burr.
So I absolutely support it. Are we, because it's not an actionable item on our agenda, can we add an actionable item in right now? Or could this be put on to next month?
So what we can do is, it hasn't happened as much in the last few years, but there is a formal process for adopting a report. A committee can formally take a vote and adopt a report in support of that report. And that's kind of what this is. So we don't really have enough information at this point to really package it in a hard resolutions and bring it to the committee in that form. But like Matt explained, it's really, we're just looking to make the committee now aware of this concept, and we'd like to continue marching forward with it to do the rest of the digging and investigating so we can propose something in the 2023 budget for consideration. But before we got to that, we wanted to at least say, this is, because it's a pretty unique thing, and so we wanted to make sure everybody was comfortable with it before we put the rest of the investigation process in play.
So I would absolutely make a motion to accept the report, and that's what you're asking, right?
Mm-hmm. So
we have a motion by Supervisor Burr. Do we have a second?
I do. Second it.
Second on this. Discussion. We're not actually doing something that has an ordinance or resolution as some type of budgetary component here. We're actually moving to support the report. That's kind of what and I think it's a wonderful opportunity between basically public and private to provide recreational opportunity, not just for us in this particular time frame, but going forward for future generations. It's kind of like one of these stars in alignment that doesn't happen all the time, where you have the political will, you have the private capability, you have all these various things wanting to move forward. So without further ado, we'll take a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, pass it unanimously to approve the report.
Thank you.
And we have the division report. So just a few items to update the committee with. First being Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. Bids are actually due tomorrow on the 8th for the construction of the restroom pavilion. The first of the six memorial shelters, that being the Army shelter, and the two entrance signs. So as soon as we get bids back, we'll share those with the committee this next month. Hopefully they're favorable, so we can start construction this spring. And it'll be a full construction season, most likely, for those projects.
And they started with the best service level.
I didn't say that. next is Old Settlers Park Band Shelter. Bids are due on the end of this month, 31st, for the construction of the band shelter at Old Settlers Park. This was redesigned to create a more competitive bid process and rebid due to higher than expected bid results back in 21. So we originally had that as a prefab building, came from one entity. This way it opens up to other competition locally, just using more generic lumber sources. Very same aesthetic appeal though. Next is the Petrifying Springs Park Playground Number 4 project. Bids were due back on February 16th for that construction of the playground. Only two bids were received, and both were over budget. So we're kind of the similar thing as the pumps project with facilities, is that we're going to look at next steps to determine how to get that back in the scope of our approved budget. So we got some ideas. We've been meeting with the architect, and hopefully we'll have some more information this next month at the next committee meeting, how to maybe piecemeal that together, get something done for the season. Next is Petrifying Springs Park and UW Parkside Multi-Use Trails. Again, bids were due back on February 17th for the installation of the helical piles and to purchase the four prefabricated pedestrian bridges. Those bids were very favorable. The low bid for the prefab bridges was $80,555, and the helical pile install was just over $27,000. So that one was within budget. Pringle Nature Center, you can see those attached reports. Seasonal recruitment, we're open for having people apply for a bunch of seasonal positions. They're all listed there. So basically anything and everything, including lifeguards. We had staff attend Wilmont and Central in person, two recruiting days, and then two for interviews for each school. And we have three lifeguards so far. So even with everything we're doing, it's tough out there, especially for a lifeguard interest right now. We're doing bonuses, we're paying for their certification, we're putting it out on social media, but it's tough out there. And I know that other communities are hurting for lifeguards. So if you know anyone, family, friends, for both lifeguard, maintenance positions, beach operations, please put it out there. We plan on sending out another social media feed, again, so you can share the Facebook link to anyone that you know. But I'm not going to say desperate, but we're putting
put
that yellow flag
TikTok.
Out. What's that?
Put it on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm willing to try anything right now.
That's like the rage right now. I would put it out there.
Yeah, yeah. We just got to go where the youth look as far as those types of sources. So I'll definitely share that with Joe Patente, our communications manager.
Yeah.
So last but not least, South Bike Trail. Three culverts were replaced over the winter months between 89th Street to Russell Road as part of our comprehensive stormwater management plan along the bike trail. And then park staff, they're continuing with brush and tree removals along that stretch. We'll probably be in spring cleanup sooner than later just to prep the trail and try to restore and reinvigorate some of the turf areas and get rid of honeysuckle and buckthorn wherever possible. And that's all I have.
Questions for parks? Supervisor Burke.
I'll wait until we get to rain.
Anything else for Mr. Mann? What about our youth helpers that come from the inner city? What are we doing this year?
Summer Youth Employment Program you're referring to? So I spoke to Donna Rhodes last month or so. They still plan on bringing that program back. And again, it goes down to what I heard from Donna is the crew leader positions or guidance counselors. They were hurting last year for guidance counselor positions. They're probably going to have the same type of challenge this year. So yes, we do intend to bring them back. Our operations staff always has a plan for each park of where they'll be doing more routine maintenance projects. It's very unskilled labor, but it's always icing on the cake to have them. So we're looking forward to having them back again this year.
Would we be anticipating being close to what we were pre-COVID in terms of youth opportunity? What are we thinking this time?
I do not have an answer for that. I hope we're going back to higher numbers, but it's all about quality as well as the quantity, because there is a need to try to get those youth, those experiences. But if you have too many in one area, it becomes unproductive. So we're working kind of internally how to create different smaller groups to really optimize them. And then limit those misbehaviors when you get a large group of 15, 20 kids all at once trying to do one single project. It doesn't work too bad. So it'll be a balance between the two, I hope.
So in the past, where have we gotten leadership for those youth positions? Where have we been successful in that?
I think we worked with the Boys and Girls Club in years past to try to recruit for a lot of those, not only the guidance counselors, but then they work within the KUSD schools. And they earmarked the students that have maybe some behavioral issues, maybe on the fringe where they just need extra help and support. So typically going into the final several months of the school season, they have a list of those students that would be recommended for this opportunity to be put into that program.
So keep us apprised on that, if you would, as we go along. It's always good to see these programs which start off well. You want them to continue. You don't want to see them fall by the wayside.
Absolutely.
Nothing further for parks. We thank you for your report, Matt. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Facilities, Mr. Martinelli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. KCAB multi-year security modifications, KCAB courthouse door replacements are complete. We're still working on some punch list items. Work to construct the KCAB enhanced security transaction counters. Buttigieg construction is tentatively scheduled to begin on March 17th, and we're looking at completion in August. No questions on those two. The lights were tentatively scheduled to put in last Friday. We got the lights in, the brackets were missing. So we've got those on order. There's four lights. They've got three brackets in a warehouse somewhere in the United States, so we should have those within a week. Which actually, there's a fiber optic line that at Midwest Fiber, it was on a telephone pole that went right over the parking lot, which we've been working for 6 months to get them to reroute underground. They had a directional bore under the parking lots, under the street, come back up, pull the fiber through. They actually changed from the overgrown fiber and they spliced in the underground fiber. That one fiber line actually runs, believe it or not, directly over one of the poles where it is. So it actually works out that they're taking that fiber optic line down tomorrow because we wouldn't have been able to put the one pole up. Because that, just by accident, the fiber optic line. We couldn't have done it if we tried.
One in a thousand.
Yeah, literally. So anyway, no questions on that.
So the supply chain issue is a blessing in this case, is what you're saying, Frank.
Oddly enough.
I'm joking.
It's not a blessing. Anyway. It's weird.
Delayed just long enough that you could actually figure it out.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yes, in an odd way. Kemper Water Infiltration Repairs, 2022 construction phase bidding documents were released on February 16th, and the bids are due on March 17th. That's just a continuation of the clock pointing and really making sure that the exterior is watertight, and we're continuing on the east side of the building, which takes all of the brunt of the wind and everything coming off the lake and is in the worst shape. KCDC HVAC replacements phase one. As you know, the construction started on January 25th. It's scheduled to be completed at the end of April. A couple of the last units are getting a little later from the factory than originally planned. KCDC HVAC replacements phase two. We're well into the design, engineering, and specification process. KCDC lobby security enhancements. We had a kickoff, kind of a scope meeting on January 24th. Updated cost estimates were higher than the projected budget. We're currently evaluating options to reduce the project scope or identify funds that could be transferred to the project budget. And the last of the KCC renovation project, again, we're well into the design, engineering, and specification process moving forward.
Questions on this part of the presentation? On replacements phase two for KCDC, Frank, this is obviously, because it's only design and engineering, this is 2023 at best for construction, right?
It will be the, yes. Well, no. Ideally, we want to do it when we're not using the air conditioning. And last year, we put as big a window as possible. It was basically end of September through March. So ideally, lead times are now longer, but we're trying to get this out on the street so that in normal times they could start in as early as September if they wanted to. The lead times probably will keep them from doing that and may push us into 2023 like we found out this time. But we had to, if you remember, because we kind of delayed the overall project through budget issues the last couple of years, all the prices went up. We were over budget. We scaled it back down and got this chunk of it out so that we could avoid a 5% increase. And that kind of pushed us all into January. We're hoping we could still start before the end of the year, but with lead times, it might actually push us again.
So you have to have your bids awarded by November, December?
I mean, bids, we'd like the bids awarded in August.
So that remains to be seen. So when the second phase of KCPC is completed, are we then thinking about doing the roof after that? Or do we have more phases after that?
Well, if you remember, originally the plan was we were going to have two major phases, and we were going to it kind of worked out with the KCDC the way it was kind of set up to where we do all the units kind of on one big roof, kind of like we did here in KCC. We did the highway department, and then the second roof was kind of all the office areas and maintenance areas. We were going to do the same there. Because that first phase came so far over budget, we had to scale it down. We had to pick the units, and Matt Storino knows the units intimately. We had to pick the units that were on their last legs, where we could have a motor burnout or a condenser burnout and throw $25,000 into a unit that we would, everything else was going bad, we'd have to replace it here anyway. So we did those units, and so those units ended up being spread over the two roofs. So we can't actually do one continuous roof yet, so that got pushed off again. We're doing the best we can. At least we scaled it down. We got the worst units that we're not going to dump money into, and we got those under contract replaced before the 5% increase. But yes, we'll probably have a third phase here, and then we'll be able to do the roofs. It's just we got to patch the roofs longer, and kind of that's lost money. But
so if we put our little footnotes here. KCDC, HVAC, phase 1 of 3, phase 2 of 3, I mean phase 3 of 3 to be completed before we can think about doing permanent roofing on it this year.
I think that's going to be the case. We'll see what we can do with roofing. Maybe we can get in one roofing project as we're going to phase 3.
Okay.
I will say that this building is, because it's a 24/7 and it is a jail detention center, there is a lot of regulations, state, federal, fire codes that you just don't find like in a building like this or at KCAP downtown.
It's a lot of red tape.
There is a lot of red tape, and we try to do a holistic solution. And a lot of regulations have changed since they built it. Almost 30 years ago. So now when you go back in there, you have to bring it up to code. And instead of trying to do patches or piecemeal, we really try to take a holistic view of this, do a design that's really gonna service well over time, and it's gonna work integrated together instead of trying to do kind of add-on patches. So it's taking, We're doing our homework in the design phase so that when we go to the construction phase and then when we start everything up, we're going to have a lot less problems, a lot less change orders. We're going to have a system that functions well and meets code.
That sounds good. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it takes longer, but if you do your homework in the front end, it's going to save you a lot of time and effort, change orders in the back end.
Let's look at KCDC lobby security enhancements. Bids came in higher than expected. What were the bids you have in front of you, and who were the entities that bid?
Let me kind of go back and put it in better context. They asked for security enhancements with the budget process, and an estimate was put on there. Once we met with them here in January and sat down and what do you really need, they needed a lot of bullet-resistant glass to kind of, their sight lines in the lobby and stuff like that, the area that they wanted to protect. So we came up with kind of an option A and an option B. One was more scaled down, and both of those options were almost double of what was in the budget. So that was just based off of the architect sitting down, square footages, we did, you know, drawings, and since we've done the bullet resistance projects, we did one at the district attorney's office when we redid that area, and we've got even more recent information now. We're doing the bullet resistant counters and glass at KCAP with Budacek Construction. So based off of those very recent dollars, we had a really good idea. We knew we were way over. So that's why we have to take a step back. We're kind of taking a look at the options and design, and also trying to identify funds if there's we could transfer into the
budget. So we're back to the drawing board at KCPC.
Yes.
Now, did we actually get bids that came through from the contractors on that, or was it just basically them saying, hey, you're going to be this yes. much money? We said, no, we're not going.
Yes, we know based off of these previous projects, we've got really good numbers for square footages of bullet-resistant glass, square footages of Kevlar for the counters. So we knew we weren't even close.
Well, and then lastly, this building here, when do we think that the architect will have workable plans for us to go forward with?
We're actually meeting this week with Reggie and clerk of the county for her area, which is all the voting.
Oh, so we're still pretty early in the process. We're not even close to having the architect weigh in with the plans.
Well, we've got plans. There's multiple groups, so you kind of get the big picture and kind of keep filtering down. And Reggie's kind of the last one to nail down the specifics of that part of it. So we're funneling it through. I can give you probably a better idea next month after meeting with Reggie.
Sir Reggie,
a couple questions. I was kind of demanding. Of the projects that are over budgeted, is it because we underestimated, or is it because of supply chain issues that are going on right now?
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably.
You forgot scope changes too.
Scope changes also. Okay.
Actually, we're pretty good at estimating, but absolutely. No matter how good you are, you know, 1 out of 10 is going to come in more than you expected. So in this case, I think it's both. Both the materials have gone up and just the exact scope of what they wanted was at the time not as clear.
Is it the same?
Partially. I did a lot of cold calling for playground equipment. I think I reported on this previously. It's more unique. You have to be properly certified to install this stuff. They call it like certified playground safety inspector. There's all these ASTM codes. There's just not a market within here. So if you don't reach it through our process of going out to bid, maybe some of those installers don't hear about our project. So we have to probably engage with more people that do that.
So do we know if the material is costing more?
We have material costs where we could link it to the manufacturer. We actually put into our budget inflation, even when we did our budget previously. So I feel safe about that to a certain degree, but that was back in October. Don't know what happened between even October of 21 and now. So sure, it did go up, I'm guessing. But it also is a niche market for installation. So I think there's multiple factors with the playground budget going over.
So I'll end now, but I do want to talk about it after Randy starts.
So you're good now?
I'm good now. I will want to talk about Randy.
Okay, sure. So I think, Mr. Martinelli, we appreciate your report. Thank you for your detail. We'll look forward to further details next time. Mr. Arbor.
Just a few wrap-up comments. February, as you can tell from tonight, was a productive month. There's a lot of reports and initiatives that we covered tonight. Doesn't appear there's going to be any lull in DPW activities as we move forward into the year. With a little bit of luck from a weather standpoint, we should be entering full-on, or at least startup construction season late in March. But we're still going to remain prepared for the surprises like we had today, and there's another one scheduled for later in the week. We're not out of the woods yet. with what we addressed at tonight's meeting, it appears that we covered really the last of the significant initiatives under the Cruiser administration and under this county board. County board, working collaboratively with the county exec, has made, you know, tremendous improvements in throughout the county over the past 14 years. Countless DPW projects were executed in a very effective way, benefiting the community, supporting local economic growth. Kenosha County really, I believe, has in many ways become recognized as taking a proactive approach to problem solving, consistently delivering high-quality, cost-effective services to our citizens. We just hope, we all hope, because we talk about it every day, that the county board and the county executive, the new county board and new county executive, can build on this legacy so Kenosha County remains a benchmark for local government operations, continuing to benefit the folks that live here. So that's, we talk about it pretty much daily, and kind of just everybody's hoping that the legacy continues, because it really has been, because of the great working relationship between the board, all of the committees, the county executive. There's really been, if you stop to try to think of it all, there's a lot of stuff that's gotten to a better place over the last many years. So everybody should be proud of what's been accomplished. So it's
yeah, so I agree completely with what you said, Ray. What I've seen in my 6 years on a county board is that we're generally proactive, and it's better to be to preventative maintenance than to have to not maintain something and replace it at a higher cost, like we've had, like has been shown when we had to increase our HVAC by $500,000 for, was it the detention center, right? Because we pushed it back because it was going down. I'm seeing something that I haven't seen in my time on the board, is that we're getting a lot of projects lately that are being overbid. And I'm concerned that it's not, I already know it's not us, because as Frank had said, we're pretty accurate in our estimating and bid process. I wonder if we have to start readjusting our mind frames of thinking that we need to start increasing that a little bit more fold because of the supply chain issues. Because, you know, I'm purchasing items from where I work, where there's a great deal of steel involved with it, and it's fluctuating every day. They can give me an about cost, but it can fluctuate so much the next day. And I think a lot of what we deal with, a lot of what we utilize material-wise is metal, you know, and it's going to adjust drastically. Aside from containers sitting on ships and whatnot, this whole supply chain issue and not having the accurate, or not having the necessary employees in a lot of businesses, and it's not just in the area, it's the whole country, and I imagine it's across the world too. I think we're going to have to start looking at changing our variables a little bit in our estimates, because and start looking at, we're going to have to start paying more money on stuff, you know. So I think we need to set ourselves up for that in the future. Hopefully it's not that case, but you're very insistent on your hand.
I almost never say anything at these meetings. I can count on one hand in the number of the 11 years I've been here where I spoke up. But you're partially right, but for every one of his $150,000 project that now costs $250,000, there's a $30 million road that cost us $30,500,000. There's all kinds of projects that we're dead nuts on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and most of the quotes that we get all come from contractors. We don't make these numbers up ourselves. We can opine on them because we know that everything comes from someplace else. And when you're forecasting, you're never, ever going to be right. You're going to be less, or you're going to be under. And up until last year when we gave the report and we put it together, over a 10-year period, averaging maybe $15 million a year on CIP, we had to move money around to cover projects, not highway projects, because we can do that. But we were off by like $1.5 million. It's like nothing. So I think the accuracy is pretty good. Overall, what's happened in a few of these things, unfortunately, they only tell you about, Mike Schrantz sits here, he's got 15 projects he's working on. He tells you about three, you know. So there's a lot of, I totally agree with what Ray says. In my 11 years here, and I probably only have one more, it's much, much different than it used to be. So I don't know how we can do anything different. Guessing steel prices 4 years ago when Trump came through and cut off all the tariffs and prices went up like this, the next year they went down like this. So that's one price that's just up and down. So when it comes to budget time, if you got that crystal ball?
No, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is...
I'm just telling you the overall look at how we do this stuff. You know, and we're going to sit here in the summer and pick on stuff that we won't be doing until sometime in 2023, a year, 15, 18 months later. You just don't know on some of this stuff.
But we,
yeah. So, but we can't not. We have to come up with something, and you can't just goose something up by 10 or 15%, because then we're going to go out and plan to borrow money, and I don't care what the rates are. We still got to go out and plan. And that's just not what finance people do, and what the managers do. It's really tough to do it like that. So you use your best guess, and they do all include 10 to 15%. Upswings. Everything we do has that in there. But you miss a few, and I think what you're hearing is the ones you miss and not the, you know, 90% that are dead nuts, the highway projects.
Yeah, away from that.
I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling, if that's a perception that the county board has, that's of stuff. So I've already spoke, that was one of the other times I spoke was when that happened. So.
No, that's not good at all.
Anything else, Supervisor Burton? So this is not our true swan song. We'll have one more meeting.
Right, we'll have another meeting, but we're hoping it's going to be the
heavy lifting has been done, and I think really this committee can take some degree of, I would say, pride or assurance, and the administration should take some degree of pride and reassurance from us that the way this has worked over these past, not 2 years, more like 4 or 6 years, and I think Supervisor Burton hit it right in the head. Proactive approach. You know, up until recently, we never had a comprehensive roof program. We took a look at every roof in the county and said, how do we address this? The idea of actually having key individuals in your labor pool, your on-source electrician, your on-site electrician, your on-site HVAC guy, it is just so much more efficient than dialing up a contractor. Oh, number four blew on the roof of KCDC. Can you get over there? I mean, it's a very difficult thing to do with that. So I would say, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but things are progressing in the right direction. And much to your comments, Mr. Herbert, if we can keep that going now, that's the momentum we want to. So stay tuned. The last order of business we have is this. I think we're going to have our next meeting at one of the golf courses that will be Director Franks makes a right down. And we're going to handle this by a rope going down the line. Supervisor Bird, where's your golf course that you're picking up? Right down, you said? Supervisor Pierce.
You can do right down.
What the hell, right
down? We've already won.
The chairman sensing the committee will also say Brightdale to make it official.
And I'll say Brightdale.
We'll make it a unanimous decision for our next meeting to be Brightdale. The first Monday of next month.
The fourth.
It'll be the fourth, right? Yeah, day before the election. Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
Maybe I'll make some talk about
that. Oh.